you'll take your Bible, turn back to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 14. We're proceeding through this blessed book of the Bible, and we've just finished chapter 13. We've come now to chapter 14 of this book. We're going to preach on this entire chapter. I'm only going to get started tonight. Only going to get through point number one, the good Lord willing. We'll go no further. Genesis chapter 14, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. It came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of the nations. Is that how you pronounce it? I have no idea. We go on. That these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Aren't you glad you didn't live back in Bible days? Can you imagine you being born, somebody says, name him Shemeber. Honestly. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year came, what's his name, and the kings that were with him, smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Sheva, Kiriathaim. Now, I'm not speaking in tongues, folks. I mean, I know it sounds like that, but... And the Horites in their Mount Seir and El Paran, I tell you this, I'm cracking myself up here, folks. You don't get a stutterer try to read things like this. They returned and came to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites, and dwelt in Hazazon-Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. There came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his strange servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 13. It's the phrase, Abram the Hebrew. Abram the Hebrew. Now I understand as we read through that, you're like, what in the world? I mean, what is this about? But I'm only going to get through point one tonight. You know, the Word of God is just so inexhaustible. I mean, honestly, inexhaustible, infallible, eternal, forever the Word of God. And tonight we have some wonderful thoughts for our attention, our admonition. May God help us with it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your Word. And Lord, I pray that you preach this message and help us to learn from it. Lord, apply your Word to our hearts and help us to walk away better Christians than we came in. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this chapter, we're reminded of the previous chapter, chapter 13, where Lot lifted up his eyes toward Sodom. He then chose all the plain of Jordan and pitched his tent toward that evil land. However, in this chapter, we see Lot is no longer pitching his tent toward Sodom. But according to verse number 12, he's now dwelling in the land of Sodom. And once again, we can see the progression of sin. Now, in the opening 12 verses of this chapter that we read, and just a couple beyond that, we see a man by the name of Chedorlaomer, along with three other kings, had made war with the king of Sodom, along with other kings that were fighting with him. Now, the outcome of this battle was that Sodom was in captivity for 12 years. Now this goes to show that the land of Sodom, now get this, this is all introduction, but this goes to show that the land of Sodom, that wicked land, that ungodly land that Lot chose for his family to be in, was a land that was already in bondage. It was a land that was already enslaved. And may I say that any place that looks promising, like the land of Sodom did to Lot, any place that looks promising but is outside of the will of God is a place of snares and bondage. And in the 13th year of their captivity, Sodom, along with the others, rebelled against Chedorlaomer. And the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings with him came and began to do battle again against these cities. And as a result of this particular bondage, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah ran to the mountain. And the Bible says that Chedorlaomer took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals. Along with this, it's specifically mentioned that they also took Lot and his goods and they went away. Lot was taken captive in this raid because he was there. And I'm telling you, if he had not been in the land of Sodom, he would not have been taken captive. Being outside of the will of God is always dangerous. And I tell you, this is the scene as we approach the outline for our message. In other words, the opening 12 verses is the introduction of what has just taken place. Sodom has been in bondage for 12 years. They decide to try to come out from bondage, and because of that, they go right back into it. But now Lot, who's moved his family there, is now taken captive with this second enslavement. That being the case, we have a man that we've been studying by the name of Abram, and he comes back on the scene, and he's identified as Abram the Hebrew. I want us to begin to look at him tonight. God willing, we'll finish this sometime on Sunday. Don't know which service it's going to be. May not even be Sunday. Just whatever God tells me to do, that's what I want to be guilty of doing. But this is what we see. First of all, we see Abram the Hebrew. Now keep in mind what's going on. Lot is the one at fault. Lot moved his family to the wicked city of Sodom. And because he moved his family there, now he is trapped. He is in bondage. He is enslaved. And there's no way out, seemingly. This being the case, first of all, Abram the Hebrew, number one, recovered all. Let me show you this. We're not going to get any further than this, but look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus." Now notice verse 16. "And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people." See, the first thing that Abram the Hebrew, we see about him, is that he recovered all. These verses tell us that there was one person who escaped from this invasion. And it's interesting to note how this one went from that wicked land straight to Abram. Interesting, isn't it? To tell him what had taken place and how Lot had been taken captive. Now, when Abram heard this, he armed his 318 servants and he went after them. And he divided these 318 into groups and he attacked those armies at night to deceive them, to make them think that there were more than 318 of them. And through this, this no doubt confused that army to think that there were much more than what they really had. And that night, Abram won a great victory
and brought back all the goods that these kings had taken captive. He brought back Lot, he brought back the women, he brought back the people, and he brought back everything they took. What a sight that must have been. Now, there are several thoughts that we can learn from this. I'm asking God again to help me be simple. And I'm telling you, what can you get from this? What can I get? May I just share with you tonight how God applied him recovering all to me? Can I just let you listen in on what God spoke to me about in my study? There's three things we can learn from him recovering all. Number one, under this, I'm starting to apply this now. Number one, we are to show mercy and grace. We are to show mercy and grace. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Just one chapter before this takes place, we see Lot showing his own selfishness by taking Abram's offer of having first choice. He had only himself in his mind, and he moved his family to the land of Sodom. Now get this. This was a move that was clearly outside of the will of God. He had not treated his uncle right. He was not right with God at this time. He was away from the place of God's blessing, and it was there that he was taken captive. And let me say this to you. When Abram heard about this invasion, and he heard how Lot was taken captive, he could have easily refused to do anything about it. He could have easily said, well, he certainly had that coming to him. May I say something to you? He could have sat back and thought that Lot certainly deserved what was happening to him at that point. However, we see Abram showing mercy and showing grace to his nephew by coming to his rescue to deliver him at this time of bondage. Lot did not deserve for Abram to come to his aid, but Abram gave it anyway. And I'm telling you, Lot was kin to Abram, and Abram was not going to sit back in his pride and do nothing to help set his family free. Let me say this to you. When a brother or sister in Christ is in great suffering due to their own sin and due to their own wrong choices, let us not be one who sits back and thinks they deserve what they are getting. May I say to you tonight, rather let us go to them and reach down a helping hand to them. After all, if we get what we deserve, we burn in hell. We notice, first of all, from his recovering all, that we are to show mercy and grace to those who are suffering from their own sinful choices. I'm telling you, it is the Spirit of Christ to restore a brother and a sister, not to push them down further, not to say they deserve it. They deserve it. God, get them. God, get them. They brought this on themselves. You listening to me? We are no better than anybody else. And I'm telling you that it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that when a brother or sister is in the wrong, Lot was in the wrong. Nobody would argue that. But Abram showed mercy to him. Abram showed grace to him by coming to his aid, even though Lot was getting what he brought on himself. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:14 and 15, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Abram had noted Lot. He had no company with Lot, that he may be ashamed. Period. New sentence. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Powerful. God is saying, you show me a brother or sister in Christ. You show me somebody who will not live by the word of God, and you note them and you don't associate with them, but don't count them as an enemy, but rather build them up as a brother or sister in Christ. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Number one, we notice from his recovering all, we notice we're to show mercy and grace. Number two, we apply this way. We do not have to be like the world to help the world. We do not have to be like the world to help the world. Let me show you what I mean. The one who escaped was in that land that was taken captive. That's a given. Because how could he escape if he wasn't there? You see what I'm saying? He escaped because he was in that land. However, when he escaped, he came to Abram. And it is plainly brought out how Abram was not dwelling in that land that was taken captive. You listening? Abram did not even know about the invasion until this one came and told him. This goes to show how separated from this place of Sodom Abram was at this time. However, it was Abram who was used to help these people in bondage. Isn't it interesting that the one separated from their city and their sin was the one God used to deliver them? Isn't that interesting? There's a movement today in churches. And there's a movement today in churches, not only around this nation, but around this world, that stresses that one must be like the world to reach the world. However, just the opposite is true. The world and its evil seductions are not to be mimicked in order to reach it. There's no communion with light and darkness. The Word of God teaches that if any man loves the world, the love of God is not in him. God is not a friend of this world, and this world is not a friend of God. And we must be separated from the world in order to impact it for the cause of Jesus Christ. You cannot be like the world and help it. You must be different in order to help it. And we learn that from this story. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Fear the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." May I say this to you here? It's dangerous when a preacher gets away from his notes. I'm away from them. But I am convinced that we in general have watered down the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am convinced that people who say you don't have to be different from the world to receive Christ, they don't know the gospel if it reached up and bit them. And what I'm saying to you is this: there is always a difference between light and darkness. There is always a difference between a child of the devil and a child of God. And I'm telling you, you get what you go after. And what I mean by that is this: God does not need his gospel to be decorated with the world to reach the world, friends. He doesn't need that. You know what this movement is? It's called numbers oriented. It's called, let's just see how many we can get here and get here, and we'll do anything it takes to get them here. Not in this church, we're not. I'll tell you one thing, God said he'll build the church. He didn't say man-made ways will build my church. He said, I will build my church. And if the Word of God is not strong enough to build the church, nothing else is, friends. And I'm telling you tonight that there's a reason we have certain kinds of music, and there's a reason that we have standards. There's a reason we do these things. Let me tell you why. Because you don't be like the world to reach the world. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight that we learn that Abram was told from somebody who just escaped, and he had no idea about the invasion until that man came to him. You know what that tells me? He's pretty far away from it. Amen or not, friends. But yet he was the one God used to deliver them. God always uses separated Christians. Amen. Notice I'm not giving you a checklist, this. No, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You know what's wrong. You know what's right. And I'm just simply saying this. We don't have to be like the world to reach the world. We must be different to reach the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. You know what that word conform means? It means to be shaped like it. Like if you have Play-Doh and you shape it into something, God says, be not conformed to this world. Don't let this world shape you into what it wants you to be. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If you're going after people by trying to please them, you'll never give them the right thing. If our motive is not to please God, what are we doing here? Everything we do, our motive should be, God, what do you want in this? What is your will in this? Help me to be just like Jesus in this. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus become like the world to reach the world? No. He was holy all the way through. He was separated all the way through. He didn't hi-hat people. He tried to reach them with the gospel, but he didn't water down the gospel. Remember when we're studying through the book of Matthew? Did Jesus water down the gospel and say anything goes? Just trust me and anything goes. No, he looked at those Pharisees and said, you whited sepulchers. Outside you shine everything up, but inside you are full of dead men's bones. Bible salvation changes your life. Amen, friends. When I got saved, are you listening to me? I'm not everything I should be. He's still working on me. I understand that. And he's got a long way to go. But I'm glad that when I got saved, God has manifested himself. He changed my life. Somebody says, oh, yes, I got saved back there. I prayed a prayer back there. And they don't love God. They don't care about God. They don't want anything to do with God and God's house and God's people. Those people are, you listening? They're lost, friends. They're lost people. Let's stop watering it down. They're lost. Because if they have no fruit, there's a reason. Because a good root always provides some kind of fruit. It's time we stop relying on a prayer we prayed back here and put our life to the test and say, listen, is it obvious that I'm a child of God? If you miss heaven, you miss it, friends. You miss it. I was dealing with a couple last night. Dealing with them last night. They stepped outside on their porch and I looked them right in the face and I asked them pretty much, I said, do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. I said, how do you know? What are you trusting in? I said, it's not going to happen this way, but just pretend with me. Let's say that we go to heaven together and we're outside of heaven's gates and the Lord walks from the inside and he's looking at you through the gate and he calls your name and says, why should I let you in here? What would you answer? They looked at each other, looked back at me, and said, my baptism. I was able to deal with that. And when I got done with it, you know what the lady said to me? She said, nobody's ever explained it to me like that. I understand. They didn't trust Christ, but they know what they need to do. Because that couple, honestly, they were deceived into thinking that they are saved because they got wet in the baptistry. Are you listening to me? There's people like that all over the South. You go to doors. You saved? Yeah. Going to heaven? Sure, sure thing. But you pin them down and say, why are you going? And they get a puzzled look on their face.
I don't know. I've done the best I can. They're everywhere. And all I'm saying to you, how in the world I get off on that? All I'm saying to you is this, you don't have to be like the world to reach them. The gospel changes people's hearts, friends. We learn this. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Can you get any more plain than that? The Bible says in John 17:14, Jesus praying his high priestly prayer, he said, I have given them thy word, talking to his Father, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Christians are not to be of the world to reach the world, friends. We're to be separated and be like Jesus Christ so the world can see his light shining through us. Number one, we're noticing Abram the Hebrew. What about him? He recovered all. What are we learning from that? Well, we learn, first of all, we're to show mercy and grace to those who are suffering because of the choices that they've made. Number two, we learn that we do not have to be like the world to reach the world and help the world. And then number three, we learn that being right with God brings victory no matter what the odds are. Let me say it again. Being right with God brings victory no matter what the odds are or no matter who the enemy is. What am I talking about? I'm talking about this. Chedor Lamer. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Who cares? But Chedor Lamer, he was no amateur when it came to fighting battles. He, along with the others with him, had just been successful against all those cities, including Sodom and Gomorrah. They had whipped up on that city and that city and that city and that city. And now Abram comes on the scene at night and all he's got is 318 soldiers. That's all he had. He had 318 trained servants that he took with him to do battle with this mighty man of war and all the others on that particular night. No doubt that this was a small number in comparison to the cities that these people had just destroyed. Yet that night, Abram had somebody with him that the cities didn't. Abram had God. And may I say this to you? God performed the miracle that night. They recovered all the people. They recovered all the victuals that were taken captive. And we know from previous messages that Abram at this time, the context, chapter 13, at this time we know that Abram is right with God. He hasn't always been right with God, but he's now right with God. He's had a personal revival, remember. He's built an altar. He's in the place of God's blessing. He's right with God. And because he's where God wanted him to be, he was in the center of God's will, and he was right with God in his life, God gave him a victory. This goes to show that being right with God is greater than having numbers, friends. All I'm saying is God always makes a majority. Always, always. May I remind you that one angel killed 185,000 enemies in one night? If you have God, you're victorious. Amen, friends. I'm not saying that life is going to be great and life's going to be a bed of roses. I'm not saying that he's going to give you a miracle every day of your life, but I'm saying that being right with God helps you live in victory no matter what the odds are in life. There are times in life when the odds are against you. Some of you are in there, I'm talking about in those times right now, the odds are stacking up against you. It's hopeless. It doesn't seem right. I mean, what in the world are you going to do? Where are you going to turn? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? These times come in a number of different ways. They come in times of sickness, times of trouble, times of fear, times of doubt, times of trials. You name it, the times of odds. However, the greatest thing an individual can be, during a time when the odds are stacked up against you, the greatest thing an individual can be is just be right with God.
being right with God brings God's blessing, and God is always a majority. And if you are right with God and where He wants you to be, then you will be just fine no matter what the odds are against you. Get right and stay right with God, and no matter what you face, He'll bring you out in victory on the other side. We learned this from this first point. We learned that we're to show mercy and grace to those that the human flesh looks at them and says they deserve it. But God's child with God's Spirit will try to rescue somebody like that. Aren't you glad God comes to your rescue every now and then? I'm saying show mercy and grace. That's what God did for you. Secondly, we learn in this that we don't have to be part of the world to reach the world. We don't have to be in the world to reach the world. What I'm talking about is its philosophies, its entertainment, its lifestyle. You don't have to be in it, like it, to reach it. Abram was completely separated from this to where he didn't even know about it until this one escape came and told him about it. Shows us how far apart he was from this place. And yet God used him to go into it and deliver people out of it. You know what this world needs? Godly, separated, holy Christians who show what a difference Jesus Christ can make. Thirdly, we learn that being right with God gives victory no matter what the odds are. The reason Abraham won that battle was not because he trained his servants. I'm talking about the reason Abraham won that battle was not because of his military know-how. The reason Abraham won that battle is because in chapter 13, he got right with God. And because he was right with God in the place where God could bless him, in the place of God's will for his life, God used him against all those numbers to bring back everything that they took away. Wouldn't you love to invade the territory of Satan and take everything he's stolen from somebody and take it back? Wouldn't you love to do that? You know how you do it? Build an altar. Get right with God and stay right with Him. And I don't care what the odds are, God can give you victory. The Bible puts it this way, Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will fear no evil. What can man do unto me? The Bible says in Psalm 56:9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And if God is for you, you're going to be just fine, friends. Don't you get some encouragement from that tonight? That if God is for you, you're going to be just fine. The Bible puts it this way, and I'm coming to a close, slowly coming down, for the altitude is going down. But another Bible illustration of this point, that if you're right with God, God can give you victory no matter what the odds are. Remember the story in Numbers chapter 13, going into Numbers chapter 14. When the spies, the 12 spies, were sent to spy out the land of Canaan, and 10 of them brought back an evil report, two of them brought back a good report. And in this text here, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but it says, and they went and came to Moses, talking about the spies and to Aaron and to all the congregation, the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And that's the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land whither thou sendest us, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You know who those were? Those were the giants. In other words,
These spies come and they don't realize it, but they're just confirming what God said. God said it's a land flowing of milk and honey. And they come back and say, surely it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Ding, 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 ding. That's what God told them. But the people there are great. And I'm talking about the fences there are so big, I'm paraphrasing. And by the way, we saw the sons of the giants in that land. And the Bible says that when this took place, I'm paraphrasing, that they got upset. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And yet Joshua and Caleb step on the scene in chapter 14. And here's what they said. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now you know the story. They didn't believe that. And they all died in the wilderness. But there were two there that day that ended up going to the land of Canaan. One of them's name was Joshua. The other one's name was Caleb. Were there children of Anak there? You better believe it. Were the walls great and fenced? You better believe it. Were the people mighty there? You better believe it. But they were right with God. They had God on their side. And because they obeyed God and stayed right with God, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And I'm just saying that God is always the majority. Let us stay right with Him. And it makes no difference what the odds are. We'll always come out on top. You got it? Simple. I'm trying to be. What is God saying to you? Maybe He's laying on your heart about somebody tonight that's suffering from a decision that they made. Maybe right now, God's speaking to your heart about something somebody did, and because of their wrong choices, they're wallowing in the mud. They've fallen on their face. And the devil tries to pop up on your shoulder, and the flesh rears up and says, they've got it coming. They have made their bed, let them sleep in it. That's flesh. The Spirit of Almighty God will come to you and say, I know they've done wrong. And sure, they may deserve what's happening. But it's only by God's grace that that's not me. And go to that person and say, let me help you get out. Amen, friends. Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight. Because maybe you've been tempted to lower a standard at home. Maybe you're tempted to let that pass and let that go. There's a high price for doing things like that. Let's keep the standard high, realizing that God is nowhere near this world. He's nowhere like this world. And He's gone so far to say that if you love the world, you don't love Him. Let us be separated. Seeing that that's really the only way we can reach a lost and dying world. Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight about a situation that you're in and all the odds have stacked up against you. Seems like you're drowning. There's no way that you can get to the top to get another breath. And yet God calls out like He called to Jeremiah. And they say when God called out to Jeremiah at this time, that this is when he was sunk down in mire up to his neck. And that's when God called out, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Could it be that a crowd this size, there's a heart not right with God? Won't you come and get right with Him? stay right with Him. And realize if God be for you, who can be against you? Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, help us now tonight. Speak to our hearts, challenge us from your word. Help people to respond. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you these three questions. Actually, four, because I never want to start without starting with this. As they begin to play through softly, I'd like to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? I'm not asking, are you relying on your good works, your baptism? I'm asking, are you relying on the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do you know the Lord? If you don't, won't you come, let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you about a person in your life. You know them. It might be a coworker. It might be a family member. It might be a teammate, classmate. I don't know what it is, but you say, Jody, I know somebody in my life that's made some wrong decisions. And they've been suffering for it. God's speaking to me about trying to help that person. Not that you've been belittling them or downing them, but maybe God just has your attention tonight about being more compassionate, loving, and graceful, merciful to them. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me in that way. There's somebody I need to be like Abraham. When I don't have to, I need to get up and try to go help that person, try to encourage them. Somebody like that, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Maybe God's speaking to you about coming out of the world. Maybe God's speaking to you about the odds are against you. Have you right now say, Jody, I'm in a situation where the odds are against me. I mean, you're talking about not being able to get to the top of the water to get another breath. That's what I feel like. And you say, Jody, I feel like the odds are stacked way against me. But God is speaking to me about what I need to do right now is not look at the odds. I need to look to God. And I need to make sure that my life is right and that God is fellowshipping with me and me with Him. And would you pray with me that I'll just turn it over to God? Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a mighty way. Help people to respond and help us to see the help in God's word. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God spoke to you, that's a privilege. And as Brother Gary sings, why don't you come, leave your place, come talk to God. Would you do it? Come now. Would you do that? Some have responded. You respond. Come on, talk to God about it. So if you need to bring that person that you need to show love to and mercy to and kindness to and grace to, bring that person to the altar.
Take me,
ask God to give you strength.
Hold me and make
may the Lord help you. May God help you.
I want to do thy will.
Just sing on, Brother Gary. That's a very appropriate song. Just sing on if you don't mind.
I want to do
thy I hope you're doing business with God there at your seat while others are here at the altar. Why don't you do business with God at your seat?
I want to do
ask God to help you.
Thy will,
ask God to help you.
Lord, take me, break me, mold me and make me. I want to do
through soft. I'm going to have Brother Gary sing that next verse in just a moment. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're just about done. I've learned that no matter how your day begins, you don't know how it's going to end. Some of you may hear things in the future. You may be put on the spot about what are you going to do about this. This person's made a wrong decision. This person's made a wrong choice. You may even hear that down the road something happened. They've lost everything. Whatever the case may be, I don't know. All I'm saying to you is we serve a God of grace and mercy. We don't serve a God who gets happy when people suffer.
We don't serve a God that when somebody's hurting, He pushes their face in the mud and says, "See if you like that." He doesn't do that, friends. He's constantly with His arms wide open. Let's be like the Lord. Let's show mercy and grace. Amen. May the Lord help us. Let's sing that first verse, Brother Gary. This will be our closing prayer if nobody else comes. As he gets to the chorus, we'll sing with him this appropriate song.
I want to do thy will.
Think about these words. If you know them, you can sing them with him.
I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me, break me, hold me, and make me. I want to do.
God bless you, friends. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight. Try to bring somebody with you on Sunday. Please remember the VBS canvassing tomorrow night, and you will receive one of those things to contact the commissioners as you leave tonight. Please take that and email them or call them as soon as possible. God bless you. Thank you for being here.